You know, the word intimacy is a loaded word, isn't it? I mean, it brings up all kinds of images and emotions. At one level of the continuum, one end of the continuum, it kind of represents being with someone you care about, maybe holding their hand in a deeply satisfying moment of silent communion. And on the other hand, when we're most vulnerable, those private moments of healthy sexuality between two people. And anywhere along that continuum, you can begin to understand the whole concept that intimacy is not easy to wrap your head around. And yet I'm absolutely convinced that we are made for intimacy. And not only that, that being a person that experiences intimacy, is able to build intimate relationships with God and self and others, is foundational to the Christian life. It's part of walking the way of Jesus, the way Jesus walked the way. I decided to look it up. So intimacy does have some words that are kind of easy to comprehend, things such like closeness, togetherness, warmth, friendship. That's unquestionably an expression of intimacy. But then there's some other words that take the whole idea of intimacy to a much deeper level, like the word attachment. Yeah, attachment. This is a key word in the work we do with emotional healing, the idea of being in a deep relationship with someone where they're able to even use their strength as a way of helping us grow, or us attaching to someone that's struggling and we're able to use our strength in order to help them grow. Attachment is foundational to human development. It's foundational to personal well-being. And many people limp through life because they've not been able to attach to someone in a healthy, intimate way. Another word that is certainly part of the whole idea of intimacy is the word attunement. We are able to express intimacy when we're able to attune to others. And attunement is, well, that's kind of defined as the ability to dial into the internal state of another person, to sense what they're experiencing, to actually feel what they're feeling in order that you can be more deeply connected to them. That doesn't just happen because you walk down the road and say hi to someone, or you call someone your friend because you can chat with them or gossip on the telephone. Attachment and attunement, those are deep expressions of deep, healthy intimacy. Well, there's some other words that go along with that if we're really going to talk about this idea of intimacy. Certainly self-surrender, the ability to lay down a personal agenda in order to connect with someone, to get to know them, to some way actually respect who they are and the dignity that is part of their being. I guess that takes humility also. And all of these characteristics and qualities are part of what enhances intimacy. I've learned that there may be intimate moments, but intimacy is more of a journey than it is simply a moment in time. It's, if you will, many moments over time where we get to know someone, we walk with that someone, we learn about their uniqueness and their giftedness. We learn about their idiosyncrasies and even their weaknesses. And we're able to not give up on that relationship because we're going to keep growing, keep knowing, in order that we can move forward. You know, I've been married now for 45 years, and I've known Cheryl well. I mean, we started dating when we were 15 years old, so that's a long time ago, 52 years ago. There have been a lot of ups and downs, and there's been successes and failures in our relationship. And part of that had to do with expectations that we had of one another that were not reasonable, and woundings that caused us to be defended against one another. But as we've allowed ourselves to grow in vulnerability, the love has grown, therefore the intimacy has grown, and I can say that we're still moving together toward deeper and deeper levels of intimacy. I'm absolutely convinced that we as human beings are designed for intimacy. It's part of what satisfies that deep core longing of belonging. We want intimate relationships, even those of us that have been so hurt by relationships that we've cut ourselves off from them. Now, we're going to talk primarily about intimacy today, and we're going to look at Jesus and his relationships and how important intimacy was to him. But I've got to back up before we can go further, because I'm convinced of this as well. Intimacy grows best between people when they're secure in their identity, when they've been able to lay down all competition and comparison, when they've been able to be honest about areas of their life where they've been defended and begin to open those doors a little bit, because they're now secure in who they are. Remember, we are the children of God. All our core longings can be met in God. And when we have that security, I think that's when we're able to best move forward toward intimacy. So yeah, I guess it's true. I think identity security precedes and informs intimacy. And that the more we develop intimacy with people in a genuine, honest, vulnerable way, the more we're able to lean into the identity security that is, in fact, ours. Okay, let's talk about Jesus for a little bit, because this whole little series is about walking the way of Jesus, the way Jesus walked the way. And I'm suggesting to you today that Jesus' life, his spiritual life, was also a highly relational life. And there were a lot of occasions in which intimacy was foundational to the way he navigated this world. Well, let's start with one thing, and that's unquestionable. And that's that Jesus repeatedly told us that he and the Father were one. That there was a connection there. There was a union there. If you will, there was not just a fellowship. There was an intimacy that he had with the Father. And that intimacy not only expressed itself in having a priority of getting alone to be with God, his Father, but also his willingness to try to perceive what it was that the Father was about. What did the Father want him to do? What was the Father doing? What was the Father wanting him to say? And so you see this relationship with the Lord where he is constantly turning back into time to really spend time with the Father. Well, you know, if we're going to grow as Christ did, that has to be something that's very important to us. Now, weeks and weeks ago, maybe months, we talked about the importance of abiding. And abiding is really part of intimacy. It's that deep connection that we as a branch have to the vine. And we see that in the life of Jesus. And so if I'm going to walk this way the way Jesus did, I have to set aside time to abide, to grow deeper, to pray, to have conversations with God. By the way, this idea of conversation is, well, it's on my mind a lot, because not that long ago this morning, I got on a telephone off of a telephone conversation with a friend who's, well, he and his wife have been bouncing up against each other for some time. And I don't mean weeks. I mean, it's actually been years. And one of the comments he made is it's hard to be at peace in a relationship when you're not willing to talk about anything. Conversation, in which we self-reveal, in which we're vulnerable, is really foundational to the ability to develop intimacy. And that's something that Jesus had with his Father, the ability to get apart, spend time, and have an honest conversation. Gosh, I've been struggling with something, a decision I need to make, and part of that decision's not only weighed heavily on me, but it's pushing me in a direction of surrender that I'm not all that comfortable with, and so what do? I get up early, I go for long walks, I talk to my Father, I admit my feelings, I share with him what my struggles are, and then I listen. And as I do that, it's interesting that intimacy begins to be built, even though I may not be talking about intimacy. But the ability to have these conversations, to grow deep with God, all of a sudden secures me more with him, especially when I'm able to have conversations with God where I'm not trying to pretend, or where I am not in any way being hypocritical about really going on inside of me. Am I able to be honest about those things? Wow, it has a great impact on my relationship with God, relationship with the Son Jesus, relationship with the Spirit. And that's what we see in the life of Jesus. But Jesus went on from there. There was an intimacy that he expressed that you see with friends and family. I'm very touched with the way Jesus was with Mary, his mother. You see the first shades of this in the whole story of the wedding of Cana. But probably the most powerful part of this is at the crucifixion, where here Jesus is dying, and yet he's very concerned that his mother will be taken care of, that she'll be all right. And he turns to another friend, John the Beloved, and asks him to make sure that he takes care of his mom. There's something touching about that, very loving, very tender. And that doesn't just happen. I think Jesus developed that. And that's part of what we see with his disciples. All those years they spent together, 3 years traveling together. You can imagine them staying in places together, going to the Garden of Gethsemane, having conversations. So much so that John even saw himself as the beloved. And you have this picture of him leaning against the breast of Christ, welcomed. You know, that not only fed John, but it also fed Jesus. And it was something important to the Lord. And boy, you go on and on. You have Lazarus and Mary and Martha and the relationship Christ had with them. And then even the way Jesus responds to different situations, the intimate moment when this woman comes in and washes the feet of Jesus, or the woman at the well where Christ is so patient with him and so tender with her, and his willingness to go into the homes of sinners and to touch lepers. There's an intimacy that I think is just absolutely stunning. It, I think, is at the heart of the entire theology of the Incarnation. It's a statement of Christ setting aside any potential defenses in order that he could be deeply connected to people. Look, we've got to develop deep relationships with people. We need that. We can't just be out there speaking the message of Christ without knowing people, without caring about them, without developing points of contact. And yet it's not easy for a lot of folks to express intimacy. I'm just going to suggest a few things. You know, if you have unaddressed emotional wounds, especially given that many of those emotional wounds have happened through relationship, those unrepaired ruptures make it hard to really be intimate with other people. I've met folk. They're afraid of intimacy. Why? Because they've been hurt by it. And so it's important that we meet Jesus there. Another obstacle to intimacy can be our own insecurity, identity insecurity, where we're always trying to figure out, do we measure out, measure up? What do we need to be? What do we need to do? That whole comparison and competition thing, that's there. And then what about being defended? I don't think many of us are even aware of the degree to which we are defended. And then there's practical issues. You know, some people are just too busy to build relationships. Everything's a task, even friendships. Here's two things that I think we need to look at. One of them is your life built over transactions or over the inheritance of who you are in Christ? Transactions are a hard way to go deep because it's always about what I need to do so I can get from another person what I need them to give me. Look, I think God really wants us to grow in intimacy, and we see that in the life of Jesus. Read the Gospels and the way he reached out, he touched, he included, he embraced, and now we're to be Jesus. But it's going to be hard to be Jesus if we're not willing to build these kind of attuned, attached, deeply surrendered, deeply vulnerable relationships with other people. Look, here's some steps that we can do today. Lord, open my heart. Wherever I've been defended, wherever there have been issues that have kept me from developing caring relationships with others, whether it's too busy or too transactional, Lord, help me there. I think another thing is to ask the Holy Spirit to secure us more in our identity with Jesus Christ. And then from there, you got to take some time to listen to folks and attune to them and respond to what their conversations are about. I think this is all foundational. And then the bottom line is this. For those of us that have been hurt, we got to take some risk. You got to get out there a little bit. I'm not asking you to go from totally defended to totally open, but boy, you got to start having some conversations and go beneath just values and judgments, but to be able to go deeper into real conversations about people and who they are. I think this is a very important consideration for those of us that follow Christ. To walk the way of Jesus, we're not only needing to be secure in our identity, but we got to open our hearts to intimate relationships with the Father, where we spend time with him, with other people. And when we do that, all of a sudden we even know ourselves more. I wonder if you're willing to take a risk today. Have a conversation with someone. Go beneath cliches and values and judgments. Talk a little bit. Get to know them. Let them get to know you. And ask the Lord to help you Become like Jesus, who cares deeply about the people that are right in front of him. Hey, God bless. Remember, God's face shines on you.